It is with utmost joy and thanksgiving that the church comes together to rejoice on this 9th anniversary when we remember the Lord's goodness in the registration of Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church under the Societies Act on the 24th of January 2014. Seemed not so long ago. And yet, as we recount the years that have gone by, indeed, it has been a journey for His people. The notification effecting our registration was published in the Government Gazette on the 6th of February 2014. We began worship before 2014, on the 17th of November 2013. How we thank the Lord that He has provided for us a place of worship. He has provided for us a comfortable auditorium so that in the quietness of the sanctuary, the people of God may be gathered together. So there were those who asked, is there any contract? How do we get to know this place? How do we come here? Well, I say that it is all by the grace of God. No contract. Day by day, week by week, we wait upon the Lord. And we see the goodness of the Lord providing for us. Even this pulpit was provided for us. One dear brother of the Lord said, I have a pulpit here, hidden somewhere inside. Well, the cover was dropping off. He took 4 screws and sealed it up. And we thank God that this is the best pulpit to bring forth, declare the joy of the gospel. Thank God for the testimony of Jesus Christ in every local church that He has established as a beacon of light, as a citadel of truth. You know, it is only in the church that we have possessed in our hands the truth of the Word of God and the truth concerning what is going on in this world. And unless we know the truth, we are going to be a very sorry people, deceived by the falsehood, the lies that the evil one and his minions has for men and women running headlong to the destruction of hellfire. We thank God that the church is a haven of rest, a haven for lost souls to find comfort and security. This security is a big word as we think about our life. The gospel offers an eternal security to us. An eternal security. A security, a safety that is so well kept, secure, a true and real security. The gospel tells us that we have eternal life. God has given to us life everlasting through the gospel. And we rejoice. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," that is our Lord Jesus Christ, "he might destroy him that has the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Dear friends, fear is a very terrible emotional element that drives us in life. And fear can drive us to do all the wrong things. Our text says that because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died a terrible death on the cross, overpowering, overcoming the devil, the power of death, so that he can deliver all who through the fear of death, they are a lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, he freed us from that fear. In our table talks, the common topic in our mind is our job prospect, isn't it? Where do we get the next meal? What is a better investment? How do we seek better health care? Is there a better pleasure and enjoyment? Dear friends, as you think about it, isn't it these are the things that we care for in the recesses of our fallen hearts? And yet, as we examine carefully, we ask ourselves, why is this foremost in our mind? Then we said, because we want to be happy. When you have health, you have money, and you have the pleasures of this world, does it not satisfy you? Is it true happiness? As you think about this question, what makes us happy, and what is it that we pursue? Happiness indeed encompasses a lot of things. We inadvertently link happiness to our security. Why do I say that? Well, because that stability is what we need in the innermost recesses of our soul. Why do we gather during Chinese New Year? Now it's Chinese New Year time. Well, we gather because we see a value in that bonding, that meeting together, that interaction. Not just eat and drink. That's just a minor part of it, isn't it, as we think. But there is that sharing. We seek meaning and value in our relationships. Seem to bring us that security in that togetherness as we come together. Well, that is exactly the gospel, you see. In God, through Christ, we are eternally secure. We do not need to worry. Do you realize that? And this is what the gospel offers to us. God offers, God promises to care for us. He tells us that we are more precious than many sparrows. Even the hair on our head, he numbers. We are eternally secure because the Father in heaven takes care of us. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And we see a fundamental problems in human relationships because of our fallenness, isn't it? Because we offend people. We fall short of what we are supposed to do. And there's that guilt in our heart. In Chinese, we said, kui qian. This guilt is causing a lot of problem in human relationships. We cannot forgive on the one hand. On the other, we feel the guilt. And as a result, we mess up our emotion. We mess up our relationships. Families break down. Relationships in the workplace break down. We must come to Christ for cleansing, where we can be restored and where we can make restitution. So what is the gospel? Well, it speaks to those who fail in life. Why do we fail in life? Well, there are many things that happen to us. Perhaps we have a lack of discipline. Perhaps we are lazy. We do not persevere. We are weak and limited. Well, the gospel tells us, God gives us strength. If we are already healthy, we said we do not need help. But the truth is this, that we need help. And sooner or later, we would come to that realization that we need help. That the jigsaw puzzle of life just doesn't gel together. And that is where the people of God can make a difference to a dismal world. That is where we may make a difference to share the gospel, the power of God to save those who receive the good news, those who have been blessed. Our hearts have been strengthened, our souls has been nourished, our cup runneth over. Well, it's time to do something, isn't it? God gives a new heart and makes us a new man. He changes us from within. Of course, we are in different stages of our life. God works individually in our hearts. And we have a message to give. A gospel, a better message. And so the people of God must realize the value of this life that God has given us. And that we are to make it relevant to the people around us. To share it, to give it. For this is a dying world. There is no more timely and pertinent message than our day and age now. You realize young and old are desperate. Desperate and hopeless. Increasing cost of living. Higher expectations. So the young ones only want to make money. Want to be independent. Today the latest. Don't want to get married. cannot find security into this world, well, when we depend on God, there is a good prospect, an eternal prospect. Blessed are those who trust in Him. And our security and dependence is in Him and not ourselves. When we realize that, when God would convict our heart, God would raise us up as a holy witness. Couples come together to get married. They depend on God. God bless their marriages. Although it's a simple solemnization, the people of the world can see how God blesses the marriage of a Christian couple. Because God is in the midst. God provides the blueprint for blessed family life. Because God is the one who created families, isn't it? The Godhead is a blessed familial relationship. Father and son. Can we understand it? Well, Proverbs chapter 10 tells us of that blessed relationship in the Godhead. Before creation, when God, through the Godhead, decided to share that joy that they had, that fellowship, that blessed perfect union that they had, and that gave birth to the creation. When God made the universe, you realize the earth was the focus. And when God made the earth, man was the focus. And God bring the man and the woman together. Procreation, families. That we may understand that eternal relationship that we will have as children of God. With the Father in eternity. So today we have our fathers, mothers. We understand that relationship, that preciousness of that relationship. In eternity, this would be reality. And so it's as it were a training ground for that blessed eternal relationship that God would give us. And the Lord wants us to understand and learn and know His purpose in the establishing of the church, in bringing us together. It is not eat and drink and to boast in the material things of this world. That's what the world does, isn't it? That's what some Christians do too. But that's not lasting. That's very short-sighted, very temporal, isn't it? We will soon get disappointed by these things. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather together as a church, we are taught how to live. We are prepared to experience the joy of eternal life here on earth and to look forward to the life to come that God has for each one of us in eternity. Can we see that eternal perspective? Well, I pray that the Lord would help us. And that is the purpose of the gathering of the church together in the Great Commission. It says in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, our Lord says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of them, show them the way of life. And when you have touched their hearts, and they have, God has, through the Spirit, enlightened them, then bring them into the church, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, when we would be obedient to the truth of God's word, God blesses us. Isaiah 1 verse 19 and 20, the prophet Isaiah says to the Aaron church, or the Aaron nation of Israel, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Isn't it so true? God brought them into the land, a land filled with milk and honey. Right? Why milk and honey? Have you ever thought of it? Well, milk. Milk has that kind of a nutrition, so that even a young baby is able to be sustained and nourished and strengthened from that milk. The nutrition that comes, that God provides for us. Milk and honey, the Lord describes it for us. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." And God promises His care for us, not just in the physical things. He takes care of us, but He grants us peace in our soul. Jeremiah 26 verse 13 says, "Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you." If we would repent of our ways, come to God, we would find peace in our hearts. And if we would obey him and follow him, the Lord said to the people of Israel in the wilderness, "But if thou wilt indeed obey his voice and do all that he said, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries." You know, we live in a perilous world. Fierce world. And for Israel to enter the promised land, they had to meet with great giants, isn't it? They were like grasshoppers, literally speaking. The foes are formidable. Jesus says, "I send you as sheep among wolves." This is the environment that we are sent to give the gospel. Sheep among wolves. How do you survive? How can you be protected? Well, we have a good shepherd who protects us. He says, "Lo, I am with you always." Lo, I am with you always. The word there, lo, is a demonstrative particle to serve to call attention to something external or exterior to oneself. Look, behold, there is a power from on high that is taking care of you. Lo, I am with you always. And in our text given in our weekly in Psalm 84 verse 11, it is described for us, what does it mean for God to be with us? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God is a sun and shield. When you are cold, the sun provides you the light, the heat needed to warm you. And the shield, our Lord has given Himself for us. In other words, He's saying to us that if there is anyone who wants to harm you, I will stand in front of you so that whoever comes will have to deal with me first before it is able to harm you. And this is what the Lord is promised to His church. When we would be willing to obey His commandment, to go forth, to share the good news of the gospel. So, do you have that understanding that our Lord has given to us this commission? So that in our daily life, wherever God puts us, wherever you may be, you realize that God has a mission for you, to the people around you, and the happenings in their lives is no accident. Why He puts you there and how He prepares you, or is our life, are we living that life where we are lost, as it were, going after the things of the world, so that we would think, well, this is what we really need to eat, to drink, and to boast of the material things of this world. Dear friends, we have to examine our hearts, and we have to examine our motives. If it's really true to the Lord, or are we simply playing church, finding security in God, as it were, but living our own life? I want God, but I don't want to carry the cross. Jesus says, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay His head. Dear friends, this world is not our home. And the Lord seeks for us to understand this matter of security. You see, where is your security? Because if your security is in the wrong things, then your life will be driven in the wrong way, and you will find yourself disappointed after you have expended your energy at the end of life, and you face the prospect of eternity before you. Dear friends, do we realize and can we see what God wants to show us, what He wants to impart to us concerning this gospel that He has entrusted to us to proclaim? Well, the Lord says to us, that all authority is given to him. He held all authority, or he holds all authority in heaven and in earth. That's him. And he has given himself to be our shield, to go before us, to go with us. Let us fix our eyes upon him. He is the true giver of life. He is the true provider of all things. He is the one that would bring hope to the people around us. And I pray that God would help us to have a true, correct understanding so that we know the way to God, our hearts, our life are on the right footing. The economy is running on high on debt. It doesn't work. It's ready to collapse. Do we put our hope upon it? What if all these things comes to us? Wednesday we had our prayer meeting, and the verse was given to us from the book of Habakkuk. At the last few verses. And it tells us that God may send a time, a precarious time for his people, whereby we would lose all the comforts of this life. We lose our prosperity. We lose our necessity. Where you go to your ATM machine and you cannot withdraw any money out of it. And you realize that, oh, you cannot enjoy your yogurt or your avocado, your good meal. Then you ask yourself, what is life? What is life? Would you rejoice in God at that time? Would there still be joy in your heart, in your life, when that time comes? Dear friends, I say to you that I'm not speaking anything very far-fetched. I was reading the testimony of Dr. John Soong. And they were preaching as the battle band in the early 1930s. And he recorded how they went into Manchuria in the early 1930s. And there, they preached the gospel in the revival meeting. It was the capital city, Mutan, if I pronounce it correctly, in Manchuria. And the night that they finished their gospel rally, they left on the last train. The next morning, the Japanese came and took over the land. Incarceration. Great incarceration, dear friends. There are some things that make for life, and God wants us to see. And would we be able to see it and understand it? If God were to take away those things, that the securities, so-called, that, you know, we think that we really build upon our lives. And I pray that, you know, we would all examine our own hearts. Where is our true security? If our security is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the supplier of all things, the maker of all things, the sustainer of all things, we are going to be very disappointed with this life. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the happiest person in the world. And I pray that the people of God truly understand what we are speaking about. What is this joy that we have in God through Christ? What is this security that Christ offers to His people? What is this eternal life? The meaning and the value of it. Can we see? Do we truly understand? I pray that we truly understand. As Isaiah said to the people of Israel, if he refuse and rebel, he shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God gives us peace. God gives us His protection. God gives us His power to witness. God helps us to see the relevance of things. And we thank the Lord for the founding of the church, the rich heritage that we have. We thank God for our late pastoral advisor, Reverend Dr. To Siang Hua, who helped us to establish us while we are so weak, falling, and him in his ailing strength, determined to make sure that we will not fall. We thank God for the word that He has given to us. The word that is able to give us life. And how we must hold on to it. How He has shown us where to find it. Even to the jot and tittle. How blessed we are as the people of God. We thank God that He is indeed our sun and shield. This was our experience in the past 9 years. Through the arduous journey, especially in the last 3 years of pandemic, the Lord was our sun and shield. How is the Lord our shield? We said He stands in front of us to defend us from the onslaught of the evil one. He Himself was our shield. We remain open as a church for worship from the 28th of June 2020, when the nation exited from the circuit breaker. The Lord enables us to remain physically open throughout this period. This is the promise that our Lord gives us when He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you all the way. I will be your sun and your shield." And He is true to His word. And this is our experience. He protected us. Our worship was arranged as a Bible study. Now, this pulpit was brought down there to facilitate worship for all members and friends, regardless of vaccination status. For 13 weeks, from the 6th of February 2022 to the 24th of April 2022, our Lord is wholly dedicated to our care. As the church fulfills the Great Commission, I say to you that He defended us from the power of the enemy. And praise God, He has. He showed Himself a living and true God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, had by the power of death destroyed the devil, our Lord defeated death by dying for us and rising for us. He delivered us from our fallenness and freed us from our bondage to give us a new heart, to make us a new man in Christ. We indeed say that this gospel does save. And that when Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always," it is true. And that is why we are still here after 9 years. The Lord is true to His word. We rest assured in His word and His promise to be with us all the way. If you would rest in the promise of God, then you would not fear when the enemy comes. You know, the pandemic is to close the church. The pandemic is to close the church. The church must not be closed. The people of God must realize the battle that is upon us. Our Lord is still on the throne. And as you see, the enemy seem to be winning. Christ crucified on the cross. All the disciples weeping, seem to be defeated. The enemy has taken over. Dear friends, I say to you that no way, no way. God's plan will not be thwarted. And His enemy is but struggling, a cornered foe. Let us realize that. And may His church arise at this time when the world would need us. Right? We sang our hymn in 233, "O breath of God." Would we rise to the occasion? Would we seek the Lord to sanctify us so that our hearts will be attuned to the voice of the Spirit of God calling us, leading us to do His good will, so that the souls that He has can be ushered in? I pray that He would use this body of His people. We thank God for many friends and loved ones who loved us, who supported us, and who pray for us, who care for us. By the Spirit of God, through the love of the brethren, we will yet triumph. May the Lord help us as we look forward to wait upon Him, to guide and to lead us in the days ahead. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." Let us take hold of His promise. Take hold of it. And be bold, confident to march on. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We ask that Thou would strengthen Thy people. Indeed, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. May thou raise harvest, laborers for thy white harvest field. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.